Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 10th day of January. The prep tip today is to make sure your car kit is in good condition. Everything's in there you need. Everything's in good condition, ready to be used. We have patient Wayne Green and my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest going on 38 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Communist Conspiracy. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. One, sometimes two, excellent articles written every week. And his six books for sale at amazon.com. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us, as always. Well, here we are, the second week of the year, and we're just a few weeks away from the war in Ukraine beginning its third year, aren't we, sir?
Yeah, that's right. Next month, it's going to complete 2 years of fighting in Ukraine, and all those people who were telling us in the first year that Ukraine was already defeated and was about to fall were wrong.
Well, that's proven to be true thus far. A lot of controversy in the U.S. Congress about funding for Ukraine. And along those lines, there have been very nice weapons that we sent to Ukraine being recovered in Gaza. Are you aware of that?
Because Hamas has received a lot of the weapons that were captured in Afghanistan, U.S. weapons.
And they've got that. I got those also. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. No, the Ukrainians aren't selling weapons on the black market, that are going into our enemy's hands. The Ukrainians are fighting, and the Russians are capturing some of the weapons, and making trophies out of them. So it's people wanted to depict the Ukrainians as somehow being corrupt and evil, and we shouldn't support them. This is nonsense. The Euromaidan revolution was the first revolution like the American Revolution that we've seen in more than a century and a half. And the thing is, the fact is, those 600,000 Ukrainians that are fighting to keep the Russians at bay, as soon as they collapse, the Russians, their North Korean and Chinese and Iranian allies, can turn in any direction. They can go after the Middle East oil. They can go after Japan, which the FSB letters say that they were planning to do before the invasion of Ukraine. They could go after the U.S. just directly. So we have to be very, we have to understand that what Biden has done has not been to support Ukraine. He's been dragging his feet the whole time. You maybe saw the Newsweek story that 139 or 38 ATACMS rockets, we are destroying them rather than sending them to Ukraine. Oh, gee,
really?
They're end of their shelf life, and it's more expensive for us to actually destroy them here than to ship them to Ukraine to be fired off.
Amazing, amazing. The things that go on at that level are just mind-boggling, aren't they, Jeff?
Yeah, well, it's because Biden has been embarrassed into supporting Ukraine. He didn't support them the first a month and a half of the war. He was pushed by the Republicans initially into supporting them, and pushed by our allies in Europe, the British and Poles in particular. And now that he has cover from the attack of Hamas on Israel on October 7th, Putin's birthday, it was a gift to Putin, he has cover not to send the artillery shells. And now that the Republicans are somehow, for some strange reason, tying border security to Ukraine as if they have anything to do with each other, as if we can't defend the border and send help to Ukraine at the same time. He's got cover now. He can blame the Republicans. He can blame Trump if anything goes wrong in Ukraine. He wants to make sure he's not blamed like what happened in Afghanistan. He's got to make sure of that because he does want to get reelected.
Absolutely. Jeff, we got our first caller here. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I've been listening to your latest blog and your interview with a lady in Austin.
Yeah, Lauren Morris. Yes.
And about what's going on in the on the Texas border and in the subversion in this area, but. But I'd want to ask you about concerning subversion. I'd like to know two things. One thing is about Ken Burns. I've been watching his documentaries about statues and things, and also his Civil War, his Civil War documentary. Is this person a symptom of subversion, or is he a conscious subverter? Is he trying to stir up, to manipulate the population?
Well, Ken Burns has a kind of leftist point of view. His Civil War series, despite that, is pretty good. It was really well done. I would recommend anyone to see Ken Burns' Civil War, but his other stuff, I wouldn't recommend it. You know, whenever, I think he had better guidance on that, and he just used material generated by the people who were alive at that time. So he didn't interject his own commentary into it.
He quotes things that support his narrative and his point of view, but he doesn't quote things that detract from it or give any opposite point of view. He's trying to lead you to think a certain way, I think.
But in his Civil War series?
Yes.
What would that be?
Well,
I mean, what he does
he's trying to make it appear like it's some kind of Civil War. Popular or mass movement by the population to acting in moral indignation to end slavery for high moral reasons. Maybe that was true at the bottom and among the sheeple, but he does not go in to the economics, politics, and even the international. Much into the international manipulation that was going on, and even among the banking interests that were trying to subvert the issue of slavery to subvert the United States, break it up, and bring it back in as an integral part of the British power structure, world power structure. He is trying to just to make you think in a way. He's telling the truth, but he's only telling part of the truth. I think that his view is distorted, and that he's giving a distorted perspective, and he's not giving the complete story.
Well, I didn't see any of that in the thing. I mean, he covered it pretty accurately in that, but he quotes
part of it, but he leaves out other quotes and other things that do not give the other side. He's giving a one-sided view, and at even one point he said that he pointed out that only 2% of slaves lived past 60. Well, 2% of anybody did, and if you didn't understand that people didn't live that long, nobody lived that long much back then. You would be.
Well, I mean, are you?
It seems to be a blatant manipulation.
Are you saying that the slaves were better treated and better fed than the rest of the population?
Do you think
they were treated the same as the rest of the population? You don't think slavery was a bad thing?
No, it's not that slavery wasn't a bad thing. It's that I would like to know just what nobody seems to be really asking is why the issue ended up in civil war here.
The vice president of the Confederacy, Alexander Stevens, made a speech.
I understand that.
Right? And in that speech, he said the South was fighting for white supremacy and African slavery. He said that in the speech, and he's not the only one. So see, you've got to go with what the Southern leaders all said. They were breaking with the South to preserve they were breaking with the North. They were leaving the Union because of their peculiar institution. And Lincoln said, I just want Union. They can keep slavery at the beginning of the war. But as the war went on, the threat of Great Britain entering the war and Napoleon III, the French, entering the war, Britain.
Okay.
Britain was
all right.
From
so that I understand. Yeah, but he's not. But,
okay.
What, John?
So that's
what is your take
slavery,
on this?
Because Lincoln wanted the Union, it was slavery or not. But when it came down to it, emancipating the slaves ended up winning the war. And that,
well,
those
what,
are just
what do you say, John? What does John think?
Well, first of all, the Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves in the United States of America. It specifically excluded them. Five states in the U.S., in the United States during the Civil War, all had men and women, boys and girls, bought and sold all during the war. And it wasn't until after the war was over that those slaves were freed.
Yeah, the Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the area of occupation of the rebelling states.
Precisely, the area of occupation, yeah.
But that deterred Britain. See, Britain was contemplating entering the war on the side of the South. And this is, you can find this in Henry Adams's writings, and he was his dad's secretary. Henry Adams's father was the U.S. ambassador to Great Britain. And he sent the warning out to Lincoln, you know, these people are going to enter the war. And, of course, Britain had already freed its slaves. Then they were very much against slavery in the U.K. And so by Lincoln doing that, making the issue that where the Union armies were victorious, the slaves were freed, that the British government could not go to war against somebody who was doing that, because then the British public would say, well, wait a minute, the Union's doing a good thing, so we shouldn't go to war against them. So that prevented the war from widening, you know. So these are just facts. So if you tell the story correctly with the facts, you know, when I saw Burns's documentary, I didn't see anything that wasn't factual. And when you talk about all these other issues, really, if you go to the ratifying conventions of the seceding states, it was about black African slavery and protecting it, and what was going to happen if the slaves were freed. They tried to scare the population about, you know, do you want all these people to be free? I mean, this is just a fact. So we don't want to lie about the Civil War. There's a lot of myths and about the Civil War. We want to say it honestly, right?
Yeah,
slavery,
I know,
if there was no slavery in the South, there wouldn't have been a Civil War. Not that there weren't other disagreements between the Southern states, but that was the disagreement that caused it. Yeah, it was. And it was because and Lincoln was objectionable because Lincoln didn't want to eliminate slavery, but he didn't want slavery going to the territories. He ran on the proposition that let's not expand it into the territories because new states were being formed. And the South wanted new slave states to be formed so that it could keep its control.
So there would be balance in the Senate.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so that's those are the reasons. So, yeah, slavery was always there and involved in it.
Never.
You know, and of course, the question of the morality of slavery, I don't think anybody today would say, oh, yeah, it's moral, it's good, we need it back. You know, I mean, nobody's going to, I mean, maybe there are some people who'd say that, but gosh, I don't think hardly anyone thinks that. So it's a tragic situation. That happened because of this institution that they were really, the South built its economy on it, and the elite, the aristocratic elite and the slave owners, they really depended on that. And they were the ones that really controlled the politics.
It just seemed to me like their best chance to keep it that way was with hindsight, seems to have been by staying in the Union.
Yes, you're right. I think that if they hadn't had the Civil War, it would have been a real problem changing it. They would have been able to keep it much longer and much stronger. But sometimes people, because of their fears, they actually ruin their own position, what they want, by being fearful, by taking the wrong actions. Yes.
Okay, John, we need to move on. Thank you for your call.
Right.
It looks like another John. This John is in New Mexico. Good morning, John.
Yes.
Good morning, John. I'm Jim, actually.
Okay, go ahead. Hello? Jim. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead,
okay.
Jim.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Jeff if he was ever heard of a Captain Montgomery Schuyler.
Captain Montgomery who?
What was the last name?
Schuyler.
S-C-H-U-I-L-E-R.
No, nothing comes to mind. I might have, but I don't remember right now.
Well, he was an Army intelligence officer stationed in Russia around the time of the Bolshevik Revolution. And one of the reports that he filed, I think it was around 1918, 1919, he made a point of the heavy Jewish involvement in the Communist Revolution. And he wrote that it's probably unwise to say this loudly in the United States, but the Bolshevik Revolution is and has been, since its beginning, guided and controlled by Jews of the greasiest type. And he went on to point out that a total of 384 commissars that were running the Soviet Union, more than 300 of them were Jews. Another one.
What year did you say this was?
I'm sorry?
What year did you say this was?
1919.
Yeah, this is almost certainly untrue.
A couple of years after the revolution.
Yeah, this is almost certainly untrue. These numbers, you hear people making these statements, and you wonder, where on earth did they get these numbers? There's historians have gone over these numbers. And have shown, I think it's the guy that wrote The Harvest of Sorrow, the famous British historian of the Soviet Union. His name escapes me right now. But if you read his books, he goes through these numbers and he shows what the real numbers were. The Jewish people were overrepresented in the leadership of the Bolshevik Revolution. But they were not a majority. They were not even a majority of the people. It's just not true.
Well, he was an Army intelligence officer, and you know, I mean, if you want to question our intelligence officers, then I mean, you can spin it any way you want.
There's lots of bad intelligence officers who report things that are inaccurate. Just because somebody said something doesn't make it true. You have to check other sources.
I wonder if you'd be willing to compare notes with Dr. David Duke. He has written a book, The Secret Behind Communism, and he goes through many of the movers and shakers involved in the founding of the Bolshevik Revolution and
throughout
communism.
Yeah, I agreed to debate
history.
Him, you know, a few months ago. Some people approached me and asked me if I would debate him, and I said I would. Yeah, I would debate him.
Okay. Well, that'd be great,
Jim,
if Dr. Slattery could
call,
arrange
for
that.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you have issues with sleep, issues with pain, check out the Energy Cleaner. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the Energy Cleaner. You can't go wrong. Everything's in stock, ready for immediate shipment at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, his book for sale at Amazon. And Jeff, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button at the bottom of every video or article where people can help keep the site going.
All right. You have some private contacts regarding China. Any updates from those private contacts, sir?
The China is still preparing for war and is still getting ready. There's been, purges in China. They purged the heads of the strategic rocket forces. There was this news item that said recently that the Chinese ICBMs were loaded with water rather than rocket fuel. You know, you probably saw that.
Now, well, I saw that.
It may be true, but I would be skeptical. It could be one of these things where they're trying to make us feel better about the fact that we don't have a very good nuclear arsenal. So I would be careful. The Chinese have been very, very tricky in trying to fool us into thinking that they don't want a big nuclear arsenal. And now that they've announced they're building a big one, and we can see from satellites that they're just massively creating, silos, and they're creating missiles like sausages, and they've bragged that they have the breeder reactor technology that the Russians gave them to make nuclear weapons faster. You have to be careful. The book by the two colonels, Unrestricted Warfare,
right.
The real reason for that book, I believe, was to convince us they didn't want to build any big nuclear arsenal. Because throughout the book, you will see, throughout the text of the book, it's like, well, nuclear war is obsolete. Nuclear weapons are useless, and we don't need useless nuclear weapons. Those kind of interjections are so common throughout the book that, it left me with the very strong impression that the book was to impress on American officials that we don't need to renew our nuclear arsenal because China's not going to build a big one. They're not going to expand their nuclear arsenal. So we need not worry. It's mainly only the Russians that are the problem. And the Russians were our friends for so many years. So, when this kind of thing comes out saying we don't have them, again, you have to treat it with a great deal of skepticism.
Absolutely. Well, it looks like we have a call Looks like Ron in Missouri. Good morning, Ron.
Yes. That gentleman talking about slavery was a civil war. That wasn't what it was about. England had banned slavery and were attacking the Jewish slave ships on the ocean. And in America, less than 3% of the plantation owners had slaves because they had discovered they could do sharecropping with the farmers. And everybody's heard of Confederate money because the South's going to rise again. Well, at that time, the South actually had a president, a Congress, a Senate, and their own currency called the Confederate dollar, and they were trading with the North, and the South was making buku bucks selling cotton to England, and the North wanted a part of it, and the South said, up yours, Jack. And anyway, then the North said, well, from now on, it's not dollar for dollar or trading with you, it's 10 of your Confederate dollars to one of ours. And actually, the North invaded the South. And if it was about slavery, why didn't the North release their slaves? Yeah, the cruelest slave masters were in the North, and after the war ended, the North did not release slaves for 5 years. And this guy says it was about slavery? I don't believe that. Anyway, John, that's what I got to say. And this stuff about that being over slavery, what a hoax. Once
no,
again,
to read Alexander's
Pentagon
speech, the leaders of the Confederacy said it was about slavery. I'm sorry, you're not reading history.
Well, I got a question for you, Jeff. How could we, in good faith, draft young Americans from the North to go fight that were actually the son of slave owners themselves? How could we do that? But we did.
Because Lincoln wasn't fighting to free the slaves. He was fighting to preserve the Union. But when he says invasion, we got to remember this: the North didn't want to fight. And there was no civil war until the South fired on Fort Sumter. And there was outrage in the North because the North's idea was, and Lincoln had no choice in the matter, the idea in the North was, look, we're going to win the South back over. They'll rejoin the Union. They'll realize it's better to be one country. We'll just kill them with kindness. And the South attacked the fort. And it created a very, very negative feeling. The North said, of course, they're rebels, they attacked our fort, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's the way it actually happened.
That is what happened on one hand. On the other, I don't want to dwell on the Civil War too much this show, but the officer who ordered that attack was not authorized by the command and staff of the Confederate States to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He did it on his own.
There was no desire for war in the North until that event happened, and it sort of galvanized the North. So, but the fact is that Robert E. Lee wrote in his letters that the Union is indissoluble. What are they doing? Even though he joined the South, he is, as a Union officer initially, he didn't even believe in the separation was legal.
Hold on, Jeff. We have a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. TOM at republicbroadcasting.org. Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
For me to sleep at night. What's a girl to do? Sign, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com. And Sleepless, there is a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner and the Liberty Man, I'm sleepless no more. There he is now. Hold on, Sandman. Thank you, Liberty Man.
Is thelibertyman.com. The worst crime in human history is a consequence of the COVID-19 cloud shot. Millions of people worldwide have died and will die in the future. We have more than 200 articles and videos at my website at thelibertyman.com, including articles and videos by Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer. He says that all of the COVID vaccinations are meant to kill and hurt people. They're not side effects. They're the direct intended effects. You can study up on that at thelibertyman.com at the COVID panel. Peroxit will help you achieve your goals of health and wellness, the most recent being the LifeWave products. We'll have a Zoom meeting about those later in the week, Friday or Saturday. We'll have that posted at the LifeWave panel soon. I can't say when, but soon, today or tomorrow. And, of course, as always, the Energy Cleaner. If you're thinking about it, pondering, and maybe procrastinating, maybe the time for procrastination is over. I use mine every night. It helps me get better sleep, helps me wake pain-free. It can help you also. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the Energy Cleaner. Everything's in stock, ready for immediate shipment at thelibertyman.com. You don't want to give out your credit card over the internet. I understand that. The toll-free airline is 800-592-9543. The call number is 512-248-8252. Visit with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. His books are sale at Amazon. You mentioned a moment ago, Jeff, that China is preparing for war. And who is the enemy that they intend to be fighting, sir?
Oh, the United States, of course.
Of course.
Although they might pick a fight with Japan over the islands that are disputed between them.
What's the value of those islands, if you know, sir?
Oh, they're not very valuable. The Senkaku Islands are in between Japan and China, and they've always been, you know, Japanese territory. They used to be inhabited by Japanese fishermen. I'm not sure that any of them, maybe some of them are still have fishing outfits, but I think they're largely uninhabited now. But the Chinese, just to pick a fight with Japan, you know how the Chinese are creating, using reefs in the South China Sea to create new islands that they're claiming sovereignty over, and then they're extending their claim over the ocean itself, saying that this large expanse of ocean is their territory.
Right.
So the ships going through there are actually entering Chinese waters.
Exactly. Exactly. And they're claiming parts of the Philippines and Indonesia, both, aren't they?
Yeah, they're trying to extend. And of course, this all goes to the bullying tactics and the intimidation tactics, because China now has, in terms of ship numbers, the largest navy in the world.
Amazing. And is that counting or not counting the civil ships, shipping ships that are not part of the military officially?
No, that's just warships.
Or just warships. Right. Amazing. Well, for our new listeners who are not aware, we have the English translation of the Chinese defense minister speech given 20 years ago at my website at thelibertyman.com, where he lays out the goal, which is to colonize the United States and have it become new China with no Americans present, isn't it, Jeff?
And that's what he said in the speech. He even talked about the possibility they might have to eliminate Americanized Chinese because they were no longer suitable to live under the Chinese state.
Well, I know I've met quite a few Chinese people who were both born here and immigrated. There's a large Chinese population at Rolla, Missouri, because of the university. And great people. I've met them. Wife of a friend of mine grew up in China, and she hates the communists. She absolutely hates the communists. So I won't go into the details why, but she was there during the Cultural Revolution back in 1968, and what was done to her and her family was just horrible. So I can see why the communist Chinese would feel like they'd have to eliminate those Americanized Chinese. Doesn't surprise me at all. Does it surprise you, Jeff?
No, because the Chinese government, as all communist governments, is completely inhumane and ruthless. They are only concerned about their own power and expanding it. And they use any method. They lie, they kill, they cheat, they steal, they subvert.
Absolutely. Well, they got their man in the White House, don't they?
Well, it looks like they bought and paid for him.
Absolutely. Bought and paid for and carrying the water for the Chinese. And they intend to install him for another 4 years, or someone who'll do the same thing, don't they?
Well, they're good allies, the Russians. Mr. Biden served them, too, in the past. And you can go back to the Bukovsky archive about when Biden led a Senate delegation in 1979 to Moscow, and how he said, you know, I'm really not your enemy. I have to talk against the Soviet Union in public for the sake of public consumption, but I'm really not your opponent. I'm really your friend. So people can go there, look at the Bukovsky archive, look up Senator Biden. And this is basically a document from the Central Committee of the Communist Party Soviet Union.
That's the real deal, isn't it?
Yeah. So he's been a two-faced liar from the beginning. So if anybody thinks, you know, we all know he's a liar. You think that when he says he really supports Ukraine, he's telling the truth? Don't be fooled by him. We're being deceived on a number of fronts. China and Russia are as one. They have publicly said that. They had a joint military task force went off and patrolled Alaskan waters here not long ago. They've been both testing the airspace of South Korea and Japan and probing into Japanese waters with their warships. They're working together. When we have a war with Russia and China, it'll be in the Pacific, and their fleets will be united, and they'll be going against us and the Japanese and the South Koreans and Australians, and they outnumber us. They heavily outnumber us in ships and in submarines, especially.
And they have weapons. I'm not aware of any countermeasures against torpedoes that go 100 miles an hour and missiles that can go several times the speed of sound.
Yeah, the Russians have super cavitating torpedoes, supposedly, that can go faster than the speed of sound. Of course, they've got the hypersonic missiles and the carrier killer, different versions of hypersonic missiles. There's a ballistic missile the Chinese has that can go a long way at extremely high speeds and is precise enough to hit a carrier midship and blow it in half. And that's without the need of a nuclear warhead. So Yeah, they tested it. They made up a giant out in the desert in northern China. They made a mock-up of a carrier, and they fired one of these missiles at it and struck it. So they've been practicing it. So they you know, and it's a ballistic missile that a fairly long-range ballistic missile that travels at, you know, super hypersonic speeds. You know, for an IRBM and an ICBM, they travel at tremendous, you know, up to 17,000 miles an hour. And, you know, that's many times the speed of sound.
Well,
of course, hypersonic
is,
missiles are supposed to go three times the speed of sound, or thereabouts.
Right, right. Well, the world is 24,000 miles in diameter, so it would circle the planet in just more than an hour. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. There's going to be certain things that would show that China is closer to war, such as implementing a draft, for example, maybe getting certain supplies ready, or maybe incorporating the merchant marine into the military. What are the things you'd be looking for that they're getting really close to war, Jeff?
Well, their economy is shifting. They're shifting to support of Russia and integrating a lot of their needs so that they can supply Russia with things that Russia is not going to be able to get from the West once war begins, and also for them to get the food and the things they need from Russia in the event that there's war, so that they're working to try to adjust their economies to being able to form an autarkic whole, which means, you know, that they're be able to function on their own. This is not really working out too good for either one of them. The Chinese goods that Russia's importing to replace the European goods are so shoddy, they're having problems with their airline industry. And of course, instead of using Mercedes or BMWs or Volkswagens, German-made cars, they're using Chinese cars. And in the low temperatures now in winter in Russia, the Chinese cars can't take the cold, apparently. They're breaking down.
Really?
Yeah.
They're breaking down.
Yeah. That's what's being reported. So, and, you know, China is continuing its mobilization process. They've refitted ro-ro ships. They have been refitting them to carry tanks and armored personnel carriers and self-propelled artillery. So that's going on. It's just slowed down over what it was when they initially gave the order in 2022. It seems that their mobilization orders, which first came from the top in China, were in April of 2022, shortly after the Ukraine war started. And it seemed that they expected the Russians to win in Ukraine so that they were going to shift over to war in the Pacific. But when they wanted to be ready for war, China's initial mobilization order, by November 1st of 2022. But when Russia got stuck in Ukraine, they kind of belayed a lot of that, and there was no reason to push the mobilization that fast because Russia had to get the war in Ukraine won before they could be ready to participate. And I mentioned the FSB letters from a disgruntled analyst for the FSB were in essence that China originally wanted Russia and China together to go against Japan in a war, and that was what the plan was. But Russia said, look, we got this war in Donbass. We need to finish this situation in Ukraine before we get involved in a war. In perhaps Russia felt if they had gone against Japan, Ukraine might have just joined NATO, and they would have punished Russia that way. So Russia thought, well, better to grab Ukraine before they can use it against us for attacking Japan. So I suspect that's what happened. What was the decision chain?
Jeff, would it be a fair statement there's still a lot of animosity in China for the invasion of China by Japan in the 1930s?
Oh, the Chinese, you know, press plays it up all the time. You know, they continue to fill the heads of Chinese with the horrors of the rape of Nanking and so on. I mean, even though that was a long time ago, I mean, my mother was 3 years old when that happened, and my mother's almost 90 now. So there's very few people in China that can remember those events, but they're kept fresh in the minds of the Chinese people by constantly reminding them of Japanese war crimes and the Japanese invasion.
Now, I'm curious, do the North Koreans do the same thing about reminding North Koreans about the Japanese invasion of Korea?
No, not that I know of. Korea has a slightly different history with Japan. So the Koreans and Japanese, the Koreans aren't that friendly with the Japanese. I think they've become more friendly recently. But yeah, there's some bad blood there too.
All right. Well, our listeners can't do anything to stop what's being planned by the Russians and Chinese. What they can do is work on family and personal preparedness, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, you've had some warnings. The president, Niinisto of Finland, after 12 years, he's kind of telling Europe, he's warning them, he's saying Europe needs to get ready. And you're not getting ready. You're not treating this threat of this. This could become a nuclear war because we've watched the Russians. And he said Finland is a country that didn't, you know, in 1991, didn't trust the Russians even then. So they didn't, you know, weaken their military. And now they've been strengthening. They've been opening their Cold War era fallout shelters and getting everything ready. And he says Europe needs to get ready. And I think it was a month or two ago, the Dutch government told its people, you know, personal preparedness is a good idea because this war could go bad. The Swedish here just recently, the Swedish commander-in-chief, head of the military, and the civil defense minister came out and said this could become a nuclear war and it could be fighting on Swedish soil. So we need to be ready. And Europe is just... generally, the bigger countries in Europe, like France and Germany, are not really serious, taking it that serious. I think it's funny that some of these Scandinavian and Nordic countries are taking it much more serious. Of course, they experienced Russian military aggression in World War II. A lot of Swedes fought in the Winter War, and Norwegians and so on fought in the Winter War, where the Moscow invaded Finland. So that memory is still there with some people, and they didn't forget it. But the rest of Europe, you know, with a few exceptions, they're not really getting ready. So people here should, if this is being warned in Europe, if you're hearing this, there is danger. So you should have some extra food and water and fuel and know what you're going to do if there's an EMP attack.
Well, I know Hungary has been very good at keeping out Muslim refugees, and you know, being a former communist country, they seem to be one of the foremost countries to be resistant to any further communist aggression. What do you think?
Basically, all the East European countries were not keen on admitting Muslim immigrants, but Hungary is no friend of ours, and it's much closer to Russia. If there's
really
a war, they're going to probably drop out of NATO and join the Russian side.
No kidding. How about that?
That's my opinion.
Okay. Our next caller is Scott in Arizona. Break coming up in about a minute or less. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin being killed in Kiev?
No, he had a prostate surgery. Part of his prostate was removed, and he had an infection. I think he had to seek medical treatment. I think it was just before Christmas, if I'm remembering. So no, he's been ill. The thing is he didn't tell the president or his other colleagues, in the Defense Department, so people didn't know he was incapacitated. And he's a pretty important person in the chain of command. So that became an issue.
Okay.
But no, he wasn't killed in Ukraine. No.
All right, that's all.
Okay. All right, Scott, thank you for the call. We have our last break. We'll wrap this up after the break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool. Down there I'm often got to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on a frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
We're back. Well, Jeff, one of the things that the communists have been doing is to attempt to remove our historical monuments, not only the Civil War monuments, but I've seen attempts to remove monuments for Abraham Lincoln, Christopher Columbus. They want to destroy our history, don't they, sir?
Yes. Yes, they do.
And so we need to be aware of that. It's the public discourse is that all men and women are upset about Fort Bragg being named after a Confederate general, that somehow that's going to improve society to change Fort Bragg's name. I don't think anything could be further from the truth. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, well, we have to be careful about changing our changing names of things, but we have a definite divide in this country, and that is one of the problems that we have, is that people are split, and there's growing intolerance each side for the other, and I'm very worried about where it's going. So it has to do with our educational institutions and how we've how the left has basically taken them over, and how children are taught. And as you know, as long as it was a minority position and it was kind of fringy, that was fine. But now it's becoming a majority position, and I'm afraid that you're going to have to accept if a majority of people feel a certain way, and they are dictating the terms to you. I'm not, you know, civil war isn't even an option because they outnumber you at some point. You have to play a political game, and you have to express yourself, and you know, protest as you can. But you know, this is one of the realities we're confronted with.
Right, right. We have a monument in St. Louis where a former king of France. There's been protests at that. He's on horseback in front of the St. Louis Art Museum. The communists protesting against the king of France on a horseback statue. These things get pretty strange, pretty carried away, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Look. People want to, there's this new political ethic where they want to exaggerate this cause of racism, saying that there's this continuing racism today, and basically just saying that it's comparable to the racism that we saw in the past. And this is just being used as a club for the left to get what it wants, like in the border policy. And this is this ultimately sabotage of, I believe, the communist movement and the communist bloc. And that's the problem that we have, is that both the right and the left have absorbed disinformation and information warfare messages, which they're going around repeating.
Absolutely.
You're hurting us. Yeah.
Jeff, well said. Thank you, sir. Have a great week. I'll be back next Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it today. Get medical supplies, your energy, cleaner, essential oils now while you can. Your fun and ammunition ever get guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, even larger, beautiful state of Texas. Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.